Today on the phone with me is Cynthia Palmeria. Cynthia is a community organizer with Gabriela Ontario, a Filipina-driven feminist grassroots organization based in Toronto. Today we speak to her about today, May 10th, which is the presidential election day in the Philippines. Cynthia, please let listeners know a little bit about yourself and Gabriela Ontario.
Yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Cynthia Palmeria, and I'm one of the founding members of Gabriela Ontario, which started a couple of years ago. Although I started organizing with the women even back in the late 90s in Quebec, Ontario was one of the places where a lot of migrant women work as nannies or caregivers. And so we found the need to address the issues of migrant women, which looks at their issues specifically as women. And so we're looking at health issues, relationship issues, and the social impact of migration on their relationship with their, the husband and the kids who are left back in the Philippines because they're seen as the breadwinners. And also we look at the development of these women because under being under the Living Caregiver Program, they end up being what we call de-skilled because even if they're professionals back in the Philippines, they're not able to apply their profession or their training when they come to Canada because they come in as a caregiver. And so even if they have practiced a nursing profession back in Saudi Arabia or in England, they come here, they have no other choice and their profession is not recognized. And so we try to come up with programs in order to continue the development of the women and bring back their skills so that they're able to pick up their profession again and so that they'll be ready in the market and go back to school and pick up their profession again after years of being de-skilled under the Living Caregiver Program. So that's sort of Gabriela in a nutshell.
With the May 10th elections happening today in the Philippines, what are some of the important links between migration, the migration of working class Filipinos, and the elections today?
Just looking back before this election started, migration has been sort of the only solution that the Philippine government has when it comes to economic instability. The migrants, who are about 9 million now, have been sending $15 billion a year for remittance, which is the biggest income earner of the Philippine government. And so from last year, what Gloria Macapagal Arroyo has promised the IMF World Bank, because we owe a lot of money to the IMF World Bank, and the only collateral that she has to pay off at least the interest of all the debts that was incurred over the last few decades is the dollar that's sent, or the remittance that's sent by the migrant Filipinos back to the Philippines. And so she promised to send 1 million Filipinos last year, and that was her target, in order to increase that remittance or the money that's being sent back to the Philippines. And at the end of the year, she was very proud that she was able to facilitate the exit or the migration of those Filipinos, those 1 million Filipinos, to different countries. This is a significant issue when it comes to the election because, first of all, we can't, as migrants, we cannot separate our issues from what's happening in the Philippines. As the situation gets worse in the Philippines, it makes it more difficult for migrants because then the more money they have to earn to send back to the Philippines. The Philippine election is sort of a hope or a promise because in spite of the experience that we've had in the past, like the bad experience we have in the past when it comes to elections, the people are still hoping that by using this right to voice out their concerns, that they'll be able to change things around through the political, through their political voice. And so whether it is the Filipinos or in the Philippines or the Filipinos outside the country, they're actively participating, educating themselves, and trying to be involved somehow in the election so that they can hopefully turn things around. And so everybody is keeping a very close eye on the results of the election. And even if you try to get on the internet now or try to call the Philippines at this moment, just trying to find out the results of the election, you can't even get through any lines because everybody's just keeping a close eye on the election. And so this election is a sign of hope to the Filipino people.
And when we refer to the working class people in the Philippines, it's more like the working poor, because individuals and families, if they are able to be lucky enough to maintain regular employment or, you know, employment at all, they still remain in relative poverty due to, like, the low levels of pay and the expenses of living.
Yes, that's true. When we look at the 90 million Filipinos, currently, I would say 85% of that will be represented by the working class, right? So it's the majority.
They're actually working poor because they really can't, they can be working, but they'll always be in poverty because of...
Right, it's just living below the poverty level.
Yeah.
And even if they're part of like the petty bourgeois people who are able to access education and all that, they're still not able to work in their profession, and if they do end up working in their profession, the salary that they get is not even enough to have a decent life in the Philippines. And so these engineers, teachers, accountants, dentists, doctors, nurses are all leaving the country because they can't find a decent job with a decent pay. And so what's left in the Philippines are the majority of the working class people or the working poor people. And half of them are workers working in factories, and the other half are the farmers or the peasants who are mainly landless or working for agricultural businesses. And up until now, they're still calling for 125 pesos a day. And that's barely $3 a day, which they can't even
in
get,
Canadian.
Which the government won't even grant them. And that's not even enough for a family of four or six to survive, to eat three meals a day.
What are some important links between the elections today in the Philippines, May 10th, 2010, and the existing government of occupation led by current President Gloria Macapagal Arroyo?
There have been so many scandals since the beginning of the Gloria Macapagal Arroyo regime, since the People Power had kicked Joseph Estrada as president. The Filipino people had high hopes that things would be turned around. But then when Gloria Macapagal Arroyo had this scandal about the last election, and it's something that went around even at the international level, we saw how she had spoken to the head of the COMELEC Commission on Election about how she wanted the head of COMELEC to keep their promise that she'll get millions of votes in different areas, just so that she can assure her winnings as a president. And so people have lost trust even back then. And even from the different policies, they were, even for this election, people were afraid that she was trying to call for what they call the cha-cha or charter change, wherein Gloria was hoping to change the system of the Philippines into a parliamentary system so that she can run again, because with the current system, she's not able to run as president again. But if she was to do a charter change and the system of government will become a parliamentary system, then she's able to run as the prime minister if that was to happen. So people are very doubtful. And so I guess everybody was looking forward to this election so that Gloria Macapagal-Arroyo will not be running as a president anymore, and that they're trying to look for hopefully a better candidate who will run the government for a better welfare of the people.
Mm-hmm. There's all levels of repression happening in the Philippines leading up to the election and even outside of election time. So please talk about the recent violence against people during the 2010 election season that's going on right now.
We know that Philippine election is synonymous to violence and repression, and that's the experience over the last few years. Before the electoral campaign, there have been a lot of extrajudicial killings. And these are killings that are related to the people who were targeted because of their political beliefs or political convictions. And so since Gloria Macapagal-Arroyo's reign in 2001 up until last year, there have been 1,100 political killings, which was very evident because these people were leaders of, you know, the peasant movement, the workers' movement, the women's movement, the youth. And that's how it was very evident. This was killing during the daytime in front of a lot of people in public places. Now, they're saying that with the 2010 election, what they were reporting is that there's less killings, I guess, from the last 2004 election, if there were, like, I can't remember exactly the numbers, but they were saying that it's at least half of the killings in comparison to the previous election. But then again, because I think it's because of the international pressure as well, so they've been really watching it, although the killings and the threats have still existed. The killings might be less in numbers, but the threats are still there. But it looks like they've been watching it because of the international eyes. We have sent from Migrante and the Bayan Canada, we were able to send 22 Canadians who are MPs, priests or bishops, journalists, and they came in the international observation mission to watch the electoral process. And so right now they're very much involved in observing the polls. They have been Twittering, they have been sending us updates. Just last night, one of the bishops from Montreal who was part of the mission Twittered, and he said that they weren't able to leave on time because the driver who was supposed to bring them over to the electoral place had a death threat. And
oh my God.
So definitely this is all part of this electoral repression. Mm-hmm. And they're still trying to exercise it, even with international people who are there as part of the observer's mission.
Mm-hmm. And also the massacre in 2009, where 54 people and the majority were journalists, and 26 women were massacred. Can you talk about that? Because would you agree that the situation gets worse around election time in terms of the repression heightening in the Philippines?
Right, and that's a very good point, Mary Carl. When I mentioned earlier that there were, since 2001, there were 1,100 extrajudicial killings since Arroyo's regime, two of the latest incidents was from last year where there was a massacre in southern Philippines. There were 54 who were killed, 26 of them were women, and the good majority of them were journalists, which put the Philippines as the number one worst destination for journalists in the international arena. Now, this was evidently related to elections because this massacre came about when one of the big warlords in in the southern Philippines, apparently massacred this other candidate who was just about to file his candidacy. And so they don't want to see competition. They don't want the ones who are in rain don't want anyone else to take away their power. And so definitely, it was so evident that this was related to the 2010 elections. Up until now, there's still no decision into this massacre, and it's still up in the air. And as we have seen in the previous reports, the Ampatuan family who massacred the 54 people were very closely associated with Gloria Macapagal Arroyo.
Mm-hmm.
And now the most recent arrest in the case, where the 43 healthcare workers who were doing a seminar in Rizal, well, they were trying to do a medical mission. And they were all of a sudden, the place where they were having a seminar was broken into by the military, accusing them of being part of the New People's Army, which is the revolutionary army of the People's Movement. But these were 43 healthcare workers, nurses, doctors, who were doing health mission in the Rizal area. So since then, it's been a few months now, and no one's been released. They haven't gone through the due process of justice, and they're still in detain. So those are just the most recent evidence of repression in the Philippines as related to the 2010 election.
Mm-hmm. What are the challenges of Filipinos living in the Philippines during this election time? Or actually, maybe I can combine the two. And what are the challenges for those living overseas during the election in the Philippines?
One of the challenges that we migrant Filipinos face when it comes to election time, well, for those who are able to vote, right, the bureaucracy is just too much that it's enough to discourage people to vote, even if they are entitled to it. We've seen a lot of the women who came from Hong Kong before coming to Canada, and they've participated in the election in the past. And then having come here to Canada, they got a confirmation letter. They can participate in the elections. And then they got another letter a few months later saying that, no, because of some technical process, they're not able to. And even for them to complain or to keep in contact with a COMELEC, they have to call the Philippines. And it's just by the time they are able to talk to somebody, it's like starting back in square one. And so that was enough to discourage people from just even bothering about getting the permit to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So the legalities, the bureaucracy of trying to even register themselves during this election was discouraging enough for the women and for the migrant workers here, right? Getting involved, getting an update and all that. Now, when it comes to the Filipinos back in the Philippines, of course, there's that repression and oppression. And so the leaders of the different sectors who are actively participating and organizing and educating and mobilizing the youth, the women, the farmers, the peasants, they're the ones who feel that the most, as they just in the middle of the day just you see gunmen just shooting at them, or they will be taken away and will never be seen again. And so either way, you see different kinds of repression, but they're nevertheless repression.
That's really horrible.
This year, this election was particularly controversial because this is the first time that the Philippines is having an election using computers,
mm-hmm.
using the technology, mm-hmm. whereas in the past, they were actually just using the paper ballots, and there were a whole lot of controversy on the tampering with the ballots,
yeah.
and transportation, from the election places to the destination. Ballots disappear. This time around, they had to look at the financial capacity of the country. Are they able to do that? There had been a lot of controversy on money that's disappeared or because of the purchase of this equipment. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And then apart from that, in the remote areas of the Philippines where people are not even, you know, have not even used or seen a computer. So that, those were like big challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And the power supply to these places, right? And so people were anticipating failure of elections because of the challenges of using the technology of, you know, computers and all that in the electoral process.
Mm-hmm.
So far, it seems like we're actually able to see the results online in comparison to the previous elections where it takes 2 weeks or 3 weeks before you even see numbers.